All right, we'll be in Psalm 4 tonight. Psalm 4. It's good to be back. Last two Sunday mornings we haven't been here, and then not last Sunday night either. And my kids were missing you guys a whole lot, and I was missing you. And, you know, when you get out of the church for a while and go to some other churches, there's some really good churches out there, but that's a blessing to come back home and be back with the people again. And my kids were all excited this morning. I don't know if you missed us, but we missed you. So we're back. Amen. So Psalm 4. And if you get a chance, please, write some letters and some stuff out to Ted. I know he'd really appreciate it. When I was in basic training, I really, really just coveted anything that would come in. You don't understand, when you're in there, they got you so cut off from everything that you need something once in a while to remind you about reality and what's really going on. And definitely don't send them any cookies or anything like that. I experienced that. Andrew tried to send me cookies twice and some pictures, and it didn't work out so well for me. What they do is they hand out the mail, and when they hand out the mail, they give you your letter and everything like that. But then if you've got a package, they say, "Hoffman, you got a package. Go down to the company commander's office and pick it up." That's not good. That means you got to go down to the company commander's office. You go down there, and there's more than one company commander down there. All the company commanders kind of hang out there. And what they did is they made me actually open the package in front of them all. They made me open it. They took all the cookies or candy, I can't remember what she sent me, they dumped it in a bowl in the middle of the table, and they started eating it. I wasn't allowed to eat it. Then they took the pictures that she sent me, and then they started looking at them and passing them around and saying, is this your girlfriend? And everything like that. She's probably going to find another guy, so by the time you graduate, she'll be gone. And they started saying, oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, look at this one. And they're passing it around and everything like that. And then they made me do push-ups and everything. And I didn't get a bite of those cookies. I didn't get a bite of candy. So I wrote Andrew. I said, listen, please don't send me any more stuff. I said, I just need letters. I said, just send me letters. Well, Andrew decided, well, that's just not fair. He should get cookies and candy. I'm going to send him another batch. I was like, oh, man. Again, Hoffman, you got a package. Come down. I tried to explain her, please, and she didn't understand, and I did it again. I went down there, and they dumped it in there, passed the pictures around. It was a mess. So please don't send him cookies or candy. There's a reason for that. Okay, they will give you, especially in the Marine Corps, they will give you a hard time for that stuff. But do send him some letters, because he'll need them. He'll need them to help him get through, encourage him, not only to keep going, but to keep staying strong for the Lord. So, amen. It's good to be in a house. I was going to almost say the house of the Lord. It's really not the house of the Lord, but you know what I mean. We're the house of the Lord. But it's good to be here tonight, because, I don't know how much you messed up this week, or how much, I know I've messed up this week. And it's good to know at this time, right now, you're right where God wants you. Amen. And you're doing exactly what God wants you to do right now. So no matter where you were this week, you're where you're supposed to be now. Amen. So Psalm 4, verse 1, the Bible says this. David says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There will be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. It's good to be back. It's good to be back in church again and are here, Lord. And it's always a blessing to preach other places, Lord, but it's always good to come back home. And Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the people here. We missed them. It's good to be back. And Lord, I pray that you just be with the service tonight, Lord. Just, I pray you put your hand upon it, Lord. I know it's Sunday night, and a lot of people, Lord, are already looking to Monday, or a lot of people already thinking about other things and just trying to finish off the weekend. And, Lord, I pray that you just move tonight, help somebody tonight, encourage somebody tonight. Lord, I pray you just move in this. The service. I pray you help me as I preach. Lord, I pray you just wash me in the blood, forgive me where I failed you this week, and wash me in the blood, forgive me for my sins, Lord. And Lord, I beg you to help me be a worthy vessel, Lord, to be able to be used tonight. Set me aside. Lord, help me not get in the way. And Lord, I pray you just use this sermon for your honor and glory.
and that you can edify your people with it in your precious, most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Psalm 4 is obviously a psalm written by David during a time of trouble. And Psalm 4 is basically David asking for a response to prayer in a time of distress. And I'm going to take a little liberty tonight. I'm not going to go so much doctrinally into the passage. I mean, there is some doctrinal application, obviously, in Psalm 4. But I'm going to take a little liberty and apply it spiritually tonight to a Christian to help Christians out tonight. And basically, Psalm 4 is, I like to call it just an answer to prayer. And what you got in verse 1 is you got the request for prayer from David. Verse 2, you got the reason he's praying. And verse 3, 4, and 5, you got what you're supposed to do while waiting for prayer. And then 6, 7, and 8 is the rest and peace that God gives you while waiting for prayer to be answered. And as you all know, prayer sometimes doesn't always get answered overnight. Sometimes God can answer it just like that. But sometimes you got to wait for a while for God to do something. Sometimes you'll pray and God will say, well, we got to wait on that a little bit. Yeah, I'm gonna answer that prayer, but you got to wait a little bit. And sometimes it's hard to wait on those things. And sometimes things bother you and get you discouraged and get you even to the point where maybe even you're backsliding a little bit because you're frustrated with the Lord. But the Lord just says, have some patience. Sometimes what you need to do is just trust in Him and trust what He's doing. And tonight what I want to show you is a couple things here and just about what you're supposed to do when you ask for prayer. And I think it's right here in Psalm 4 and some things that you need to count on in Psalm 4. In verse 1, the Bible says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David's asking for prayer because he's in distress. And a lot of times as a Christian, you will ask for prayer, obviously, when you're in distress, when you have needs, you have problems, you have things that you want God to answer. It's a shame that sometimes that God, the only way He can get a hold of you is to put you in a distressful situation. He's got to put you in a situation where you finally will look up to Him. And that's not talking to lost people, that's talking to Christians. Christians, when things are going well, people tend to put Him on the back burner. And God wants to have fellowship with you daily, all the time. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. And sometimes when you aren't walking with Him like you should, sometimes He'll put distress in your life just so you'll look up to Him, just so you'll talk to Him, just so you'll go come back to Him, and God has to remind you where you came from. He says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And he's asking for help. He's asking for something. And you as a Christian, you know what the Bible says? You have not because you ask not. It's amazing how many Christians have needs, but they won't pray about it. They'll talk to people about it, but they won't ask God for prayer. You know what you need to do is ask God and go to Him, because He's the only one that can answer it. It doesn't matter how many leads or how many connections you have. That can all be shut down if God's not in it. We're trying to sell our house downstate, and then we got it, and we think we're in a pretty good position with it on paper. You know, it actually went on the market today, so pray for that if you think about it. We'd love to get that burden off us, but unless God gets in it, it's not going to matter. You can have everything just set up perfectly, and God doesn't sell it. It doesn't matter how good it is or what you've done with it. It doesn't mean anything, and we have to constantly. We've been praying since we started, since we've got reclaimed the house, and then we had to build on it and work on it. And Andrew and the kids have worked their tails off down there trying to work on things while I'm at work. Her mom's come down and tried to help out and work, and there's a lot of things, and been praying. And actually, the Lord's been speaking to us through Nehemiah and Ezra about building the wall and building the house. And finishing the work and fixing up the breaches of the wall and stuff. And that's encouraged us to get through. We've been praying. But you go to the Lord when you're in distress, when you have need. Sometimes it's not even a something that you need answered right away. It's something that you just want God to open a door into something. And the first thing to step is go to the Lord in prayer. And that's what David did. He says, when I was in distress, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And in verse 2, you see why he's praying. He says, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Talking about the people around him, turning his glory into shame. And you can apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many people are turning His glory into shame? And that's not just lost people, that's Christians. Some of you are turning His glory into shame. Some of you people know you're Christians, but your testimony's not good. And that because of that, you're turning His glory into shame. You got to watch out for that stuff. I got to watch out for that stuff. Pastor really convicted me the other day talking about Brother Steve wearing a dress shirt in the town all day. Because sometimes I come into town, I mean, I just look, you know, I get done doing something, I look pretty rough, which I know sometimes that happens. But the Lord started convicting me. He says, you know, you are the associate pastor. You should kind of, maybe when you go into town, look a little bit better sometimes. You know, people know it, you know. I don't want to turn God's glory into shame. You say, well, I don't have to wear nice clothes all the time to please God. No, but you know, people expect stuff like that. When pastor goes out in town, I'm sure they if they know he's a pastor, they judge him by what he's wearing. You say, well, well, they shouldn't do that. People do that. I'm telling you, people size you up by that. When I went to that, I'll go to different churches. When I go to churches and preach, they judge me by how I look when I walk in the door. They do it automatically. You got to make sure if I come in there not looking right, I can turn his glory into shame. You say, that's not right. Well, it's about testimony. And don't turn his glory into shame. He says, how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Leasing is just an old English term for the word deception. People are deceiving and being deceived. The Bible says, and the world is out there, and they're turning their God's glory into shame. They love vanity, and they seek after leasing, and that's what the world's doing right now, and it can bother a Christian. It can bother people because you're seeing that stuff, and you're wondering, why does God allow things to happen, the good things to happen to people that are living wrong, and you're trying to do right, and yet you have to go through the grinder sometimes to get something done. I mean, has anybody in here ever thought about that? I've thought about that. Just recently, there's people in our area, in our town, that are selling their houses, and they're selling them just like that. And I'm like, Lord, why you? They don't even know you. They don't even love you, and you're selling their houses real quick. I know people put their house on the market. Within a day, it's gone. But why is it something like, you know, sometimes you got to get through the grinder. Some of you, you pray for some things, and God puts you through some things before he'll answer that prayer, and you get discouraged about it. You say, well, while they don't even love God, why do I have to do it? You know, why aren't you answering my prayer? And that's what David's saying here. He's saying, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Listen, some of you have got some prayer requests. Some of you have got some things. I know on Wednesday night, I hear your prayer requests. Some of you got some prayers and unspokens that you want God to answer, and sometimes God will not answer him right away. And it's not because he doesn't love you. It's not because he wants to be mean to you. It's because he's got a purpose for it. And God wants you to work some things out in your life before that prayer gets answered. If God answered every prayer right on the spot, you would never grow as a Christian. You have to go through some things. God does some things to put you through some things. So in verse 1, you got the prayer request. Verse 2, you see what he's praying about. And then verse 3, 4, and 5, which is the meat of this message, is what you're supposed to do while waiting for your answer to prayer. And the first thing is in verse 3, it says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. He said, first thing is this, it says, but know what? When you're waiting for prayer. You're waiting for God to answer that prayer. Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Did you know that if you're in here and you're saved, and I'm assuming everybody in here is saved, if you're saved and born again, God is not going to treat you like he treats people out in the world. Do you know that? You are set apart for him. You are something special in his eyes, and he will treat you differently than he will treat other people. Do you know that? Now, he'll treat everybody righteously, but you know what he'll do? He sets you apart for a reason, for a purpose, for a mission. And he's got to do some things in your life before that prayer gets answered. And while you're waiting for prayer, you have to realize that just because John Boy down the road, this good thing happened to him or this thing happened to him, doesn't mean it's going to happen to you just like that. God has some things he's working out in his life. You need to know those things. My kids are special to me, and my kids are set apart in my eyes. Now, I like kids. I didn't used to like kids before I had kids. I used to, they just bug me. I mean, just snot coming out of their noses. And they, I mean, now, you know, now if I saw little kids coming out of the house, but I hope they're not in my way, you know, and everything. And they want to hug me. I'm like, hey, you know, just kind of, and some of you know what I'm talking about, especially guys. You know, I don't know about the ladies. I can't speak for them. But guys, you know how it is for you at kids. Somebody else's kids come up, you're like, oh, they're nasty. They're dirty. I don't like that. You know, they're crying. Get them out of here. Some of you, come on, you know, you guys have been there. Some of you guys have been there. That's how I was before I got kids, and then I get kids, and now, I mean, now things bother me now. You know what bothers me now? Things that didn't used to bother me is when I hear about bad things happening to kids in the news. Before I had kids, it didn't bother me that bad. I mean, it was awful, but it didn't bother. Now all I can do is picture my kids in that situation. And it bothers me, and my kids are special in my eyes. Now, I like kids now. I like them. I like seeing them walk down the aisle. I like watching them. And when they cry and scream and everything like that, it's great to me because I know my kids do that, and I love it. I like hearing kids run around. I was telling the people in the church last week when I was talking about hell, I said, you know something? Oh, and actually, it was in the jail. I was talking to the guys in the jail on Thursday. I said, you know something you're never going to hear in hell? I said, you're never going to hear a kid laugh again. I said, you won't hear laughter in hell. I said, you know the sounds of kids laughing and running around? You will never hear that in hell. That got their attention. But you know something about my kids? They're special because they're my kids. And your kids are special to you because they're your kids. And they're I'm setting apart. Now, I'm nice to all the kids. I try to be nice to them. And I like them. I love them in a way. But at the end of the day, my kids are special to me. And I'm going to treat my kids differently than you're going to treat your kids. And that, or then I'm going to treat your kids. So know that the Lord has set you apart. You say, what's your point, Brother Josh? My point is this, is that when you're waiting for prayer, God is going to answer that prayer specially for you, and He will not necessarily answer it right away. And while you're waiting for that answer, just know it's not because He doesn't love you. It's not because He doesn't care. It's because He set you apart, and He's got something for you. And before that prayer can be answered, something's got to be done. And He's working it in your life right now. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, the natural tendency for Christians is to want to blend in and be like everybody else because that's what the flesh wants to do. But God set you apart, and you're supposed to be different. I know I grew up in, I was a lost child, lost teenager growing up. I went to regular high school, and I know what it was like. You always want to be popular. You want to be cool. You want everybody to like you. You want to fit in. You want to be like everybody else. But you know what I found out after I got saved? That doesn't work, serving God. You're going to stand out. You're going to be a little different. You're going to be a little different, and God expects you to be different. Just like He called those Jews apart, He made them different. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a what? Peculiar people. You're supposed to be peculiar. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be a little odd. All right? When I go to work, people think I'm a little odd. Now, when I do work-related activities, they're fine. But when they start talking about things and I start backing off or doing something else, they think I'm a little off. When they start, they always have these get-togethers and, we're going to meet after work at such and such place and everything like that. And they just don't even invite me anymore because I never go. And they think, I'm a little odd. And when they start talking, you walk in a room, you can tell sometimes when they're not saying the stuff they're supposed to be talking about because they get real quiet when you walk in. Or if they cuss, sorry, Josh. You know, I mean, amen, it's a blessing. I'm glad I have a testimony there, amen. But they think I'm a little peculiar. None of them are going to ask me to do anything. None of them are going to, you know, think I'm popular or cool. Some of them probably think I'm a little weird. I'm a little different. But that's okay. God expects me to be peculiar. You're supposed to be peculiar, and God has set you apart. And it's not because you're a bad person He's setting you apart. It's because He loves you, and you're special, and you're the child of God, and God has something special for you that He doesn't have for anybody else. So while you're waiting for prayer, know that the Lord has set Him apart that is godly for Himself. Back in Psalm chapter 4. In Psalm 4. So you know that in the answer to prayer, know that while you're waiting for that prayer to be answered, just be patient and know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for Himself. Isn't it nice to know you're special in the Lord's eyes? Amen. He's watching you. He's concerned about what you're doing. Is President Trump concerned about what you're doing tonight? If he is, there's probably something wrong, right? Amen. might have some issues there. But you know what I'm trying? My point is this. What are you saying? I'm saying some of these people that you think are really important, they don't care what you're doing tonight. They don't care what's going on with you. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about what you're doing tonight. Amen. He's watching you. He's concerned what you're going to do now and after church and tonight and the rest of the week. He wants to know what you're up to. He wants to get to know you. And back in Psalm 4, just know this. While you're waiting for an answer to prayer, know the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. The second thing is, not only do you need to know, but you need to stand. And it says to stand in awe and sin not. That doesn't mean stop. That doesn't mean you don't do anything for the Lord. It means sometimes when you're waiting for prayer and for God to open up a door or do something for you, just stand. Don't sit down. Don't go back the other way. Stand. It says stand in awe. Watch what the Lord's going to do. It may take some time. The reason God may not be answering your prayer right now is because He's working something out over here. And before that, He can answer your prayer. He's got to get that worked out. Sometimes He's got to get somebody right over here before He can answer your prayer. He's bringing it all together. You need to stand and keep going and doing something for the Lord. Don't worry about it when your prayer isn't answered right away. I understand how it goes, but keep standing. Keep standing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You know where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul talks about that. He wants you to stand. Doesn't mean you just stop, but at least stand. Amen. In football, you know, when people come up and when you're on the offensive line, you know what they're supposed to do? They're just supposed to stand and hold so the guy behind him can get through the line. Ephesians, if I can get the right book here, Ephesians chapter 6. You know where I'm going, verse 12. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood,
but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Doesn't it say in Daniel, I think it's Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel was praying, it took some time for the angel to come down and get down there and answer his prayer. Sometimes it takes time, okay? Sometimes it takes time because there's spiritual battle going on before your prayer can be answered. And what you're supposed to do is just stand, right? You need to stand against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are spiritual battles going on, and there are things going on that you can't see. And what the devil will try to do while you're waiting for prayer, he's going to convince you that God cannot answer your prayer. God does not love you. God is not concerned with what's going on in your life. And he'll get you all depressed. So what you'll do is you'll end up quitting on God and backsliding or something to that nature. And you just need to be patient and wait and stand. Just like he told you that. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the what? The evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And you go down there to the whole armor of God. You know what God wants you to do while you're waiting for prayer? To stand. Stand. Just keep standing. But don't be not moving. Be doing something. When I was in football practice, Luke, you might remember this. We had this drill. It's called Bull in the Ring. And in Bull in the Ring, what you do is they put the whole football team around in a big circle. I was trying to show my kids this the other night. They didn't like it. So they didn't think it was real fun. But anyway, what you do is you put a bunch of football players, the whole football team stands around in a circle. They put one guy in the middle of it. So you're like in the middle of the ring. And what you do is you stand there and you got like this the whole time. You got to be like this, going like doing your feet back and forth, looking around like this all the time. And the coach walks around the ring of the guys on the outside, and he just walks around and you can't tell, but he'll tap somebody. And once that person feels that tap, his job is going and hits you as hard as you can. And that's what you got to do. I didn't do that to my kids. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, I didn't do that to my kids. It's a much more milder thing. Okay. And I wasn't even involved in it. It was between them. So. And people are going to be making phone calls here after service. No, but in football, you sit there and you'd be doing this, and you'd have to go like this all the time. And you'd be sitting there, and you got to keep looking around the circle. You kind of watch where the coaches go, but they'd have two of them walking around. So you never knew who was getting tapped and who wasn't. So you'd have to be going like this, and you'd be moving in place, and you'd just stand there. And what your goal was is when they came and hit you, you don't get knocked down. You can't get knocked down. And if you did get knocked down, you had to get right back up. And I got knocked down. I was the smallest guy on the football team. So I'm on there and I'm running. I mean, some guys in there are big, and I'm like, man, please don't pick that guy. Please don't pick that guy. Please don't pick that guy. Please don't pick it. And you know, Bill Butler, or I mean, I can remember some of them, man. They just come flying in there, boom, and you just, you know, and if you stood up, you're like, okay. And then you got to keep standing there like this, and then he pokes up his arm, boom, and you get hit again. You gotta keep trying to do that. And we do that, man. You'd be so wore out, you get hit so many times. And then finally, he'd call you out, and then you finally put somebody else in the ring. What's that called? It's called Bull in the Ring. Well, sometimes as a Christian, that's what you got to do. You got to stand there and stand in place, be moving, doing something, doing what's set before you, right? But the devil's going to be sending people in to hit you. And what you got to do is learn not to fall down and just absorb the blow. And if you do get knocked down, know what we're supposed to do? You do not lay there. You get right back up. You lay down. If you lay there, you're going to cry. Oh, that's a bad thing in football. You don't cry in football. Now, you can say, I'm hurt. You can step out for a minute, but you never cry. If you cry, you're done. You just might as well just leave school. But I'm telling you, but when you get hit, and you see, I was small, so I had small man's complex, so I was not going to let any of them knock me over too long, and I would get knocked over sometimes. I mean, I'm small, and I'd but immediately jump back to your feet, and you just sit there waiting again. I mean, I may be just, oh, my head would be ringing. I mean, I'd be, oh, that hurts so bad. And I'd be sitting there like, but I wouldn't show it. You know, I just keep sitting there, and they'd do it for a while, and then you finally get out. And you know what? You get respect from the other football players like that. You know, I was small. I still remember going. I think I might have told you, I was in my school and I was wearing my jersey and I was all proud because I had my football jersey on. And some guys came up to me and said, oh, Hoffman, you're so small. You play football? Started kind of giving me a hard time. All of a sudden I saw all these red jerseys just start surrounding. It was great. It was really good. They're like, I don't see you out there. And they're just kind of hanging their heads and walk away. It was great. Anyway, that's football memories. Anyway, what's my point? My point is to stand. When you're waiting for prayer to be answered, just stand. Don't quit doing work. Quit doing what you're supposed to do. But when the devil sends those blows in while you're waiting for prayer, absorb them. If you get knocked down, get right back up again. And just stand there. It's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to sting a little bit. But I guarantee you, after a while, it'll go away. And God will answer that prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men,
Be strong. Stand fast in the faith. The devil, what he's going to do is he's going to shoot, just like Brother Grady was saying the other day, he'll shoot darts from that wall and he'll try to take you out. If you don't have that shield of faith, he'll take you out and you'll lose that faith and think, well, you know what? God's not answering my prayer. You know what? Really, does God even care about what I'm doing? You know, I don't even think God cares. God, why aren't you doing nothing? You get kind of in that mode. You know what I'm saying? I've been there. I've gotten mad. I've gotten angry. I've gotten really angry sometimes at God. And I remember a couple times just really, you know, just ashamed of it. I mean, I just sit there and I'm just only telling you this for if you've been there, but I've grabbed my Bible and just threw it on the ground and said, Lord, I'm done. You know, for a couple minutes there, I'm just done. I'm done. Lord's like, pick that back up. Some of you say, that's awful. Some of you have been there. You've been there. God's made you mad. Something didn't work out like you thought it was going to work out. But you know what you're supposed to do? Get back up. Stand. Keep standing until that prayer is answered. God's going to take care of it. I'm not saying he's going to answer it the way you want it to be answered, but he will answer it. And you need to stand. So you need to know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. Two, stand in awe and sin not. Thirdly, this, look down at verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Offer the sacrifice. You need to offer. What does that mean? You need to keep going even though you're waiting for God to answer prayer. Don't stop doing what you're doing because you're waiting for God to do something. Keep doing what God has for you in your life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think we hit this a couple weeks ago when I preached. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't give up. Just keep going. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Keep doing what God has set before you. Sacrifices that you do, whether it's ministry or whatever God's got for you, whatever prayer you're at, keep doing what you're doing. And let God answer it in His time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just keep working. Just keep doing what God's got before you. Keep doing whatever it is, whether it's at work, whether it's in the ministry, whether it's in your life, whether just keep going, because God will eventually answer that prayer. But He's not going to answer that prayer, and He's not going to open up doors, and He's not going to do some things for you if you're just going to stand still as far as not doing anything and just whine and cry and get upset about that stuff. God wants you to keep going forward. A lot of times what you have to do is you just have to keep doing the things you have to do. I know in the military, many times I'd have to negotiate orders or go someplace. And while I'm negotiating orders, I have no idea what's going to happen. But you know what I have to do the next day while I'm negotiating orders? And that can take weeks. You go to work. I went and did medical clinic. I did sick call for the Marines. I did those things. You know what happens? God just decides, you know, what you're going to do, what's going to happen. It doesn't mean that something like a door going somewhere else, but maybe you want to do something for God. Maybe God's doing something in your job. Maybe something in your life you want God to answer prayer for. And God has answered that prayer. Well, just keep doing what you can and going forward. Keep going. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Don't stop. The important thing is that you don't stop doing what God wants you to do right now. Keep doing what God wants you to do while you're waiting for prayer to be answered, while you're waiting for God to do something in your life, while you're waiting for God to deliver you in something. Just keep doing the best you can and going forward. Don't sit there and go backwards. And that's what a lot of Christians will do. They will get frustrated. They will get discouraged. They will get depressed. They will get upset. And then what happens is they just backslide and they're gone because things didn't work out like they thought they would. I'm here to tell you tonight, as a Christian, and all the things that I've been through, things have not worked out like I thought they were going to work out. I had a plan, and you know what happened? It's all just been obliterated. It's not like that anymore. But God, what He has done over time is He has shown me His will more perfectly as I keep walking forward for Him. As I'm asking for prayer for different things, as I'm asking for God to do some things and deliver some things in my life, God has used those things to show me the way that I'm supposed to walk and the direction I'm supposed to go, and He has answered prayers in my life. But you just have to keep going forward and not quitting to do it. Some of you in here, you're looking for a prayer to be answered and you're getting discouraged because it hasn't been answered yet. And the Lord wants you to know you need to hang in there and wait and keep doing what you're doing. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. The devil likes to get in your ear. Likes to get you upset. You know what he'll do? He'll send somebody by where the Lord did answer their prayer. Maybe it's a similar prayer to what you wanted and you'll get discouraged because God's answering their prayer but He's not answering yours, right? You guys are looking at me like a tree full of owls. Nobody's been there? Amen? No, Brother Josh, that's never happened to me. Okay, well, amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what you need to do? Keep going forward, doing what God wants you to do. You need to know what the Lord has set. Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Stand in awe and sin not. offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And then look at this, verse 5, same verse. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Finally, the thing you have to do to realize about doing, the thing you need to do while waiting for prayer to be answered, is you simply need to put your trust in Him. You know what the problem is? Some of you are like me, and you put your trust in people, and they've let you down. And they failed you. And they hurt you, maybe. And you get to a point after that happens so much, you tend not to trust anybody, not even the Lord. And sometimes you think of the Lord as somebody that you trusted before, and you think He's going to let you down, but He's not going to let you down. Now, I'm not saying He's going to give you everything you want, but He will answer your prayer and do what's best for you. You need to put your trust in the Lord while you're waiting for an answer to prayer. You trust Him? You trusted Him with your salvation. You're going to heaven, right? You trust Him for that. Can He answer your prayers? Can He take care of things? Sure, He can. Turn to Psalm 37. Some of you are waiting for some prayer to be answered. God says just trust Him. You know the thing about the Lord, and I know a lot of this is stuff that's not new to you, but you know the Lord sees things that you don't see. And He sees some things that you want answered, and He knows how to work things out how He sees fit. And sometimes if He answered your prayer the way you wanted answered, it would ruin you. It would mess you up, and God wants you to put your trust in Him. Psalm 37, verse 4. The Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Amen. When we first came up here, me and Andrea, the first time we ever came up here, I remember we were over in Traverse City area somewhere visiting some family, and we were trying to find a good church, and we couldn't find a good one, and I heard of Pastor Lambert, and I thought, well, I'm going to come by there and just, if anything, it's way out of the way, but I'm going to come by there and just get some good preaching for a change, amen? And we stopped in here, and I remember we came in here, and it was just a breath of fresh air coming in here, somebody believes the book and preaching it. I'm telling you, you've been here the whole time, you don't know what it's like. I mean, you go out there and you just hear people preach, it's just a bunch of nonsense. It's just, they don't believe the book. So we came in here just a breath of fresh air, and it was a blessing, and got to talk to Pastor Lambert, and we left that morning, and we were driving. I can't remember driving. We were trying to hang around in the area, I think, because we live so far away, so we didn't want to go too far so we could come back, I think. We're driving around, and I remember driving down one of these roads. I can't remember, and there's a deer running straight up the road, just straight up the road. Now, me, if I haven't noticed, I like outdoors. I like the woods. I like the rivers. I like lakes. I like fishing. I like seeing the animals running around. And I mean, I'm driving around here, and it's just like, you know, this is like wild America. I mean, I'm watching deer running straight up the road in traffic. Cars just going around him like he's a pedestrian. I mean, they're just going around him, and I'm like, well, look at him. They're not even, there's a deer just going down the road like he owns the place. And I'm like, wow, look at this. And we're driving around, and we stop somewhere up by West Branch, and we were stopping in this little place by a little lake just to kind of eat lunch or something. We're hanging out there, and it was just a beautiful summer day, and the wind's blowing through the trees, and I mean, man, this is a beautiful place. And I mean, Andrew actually talked about if Pastor Lambert was right with God living in a place like this. I did. I thought that. I mean, I was like, man, how can you live in such a beautiful place and still serve God and, you know, be right with God? You know, because I was in my mind, you know, I kind of had that PBI mentality where you have to be somewhere where you don't like it, you know? And that's what I thought. And, you know, if you're enjoying it, you're not right with God, amen? So that's what I was thinking. And I remember talking about that, and we're driving around. I'm like, man, this is a beautiful place. And Andrew's like, yeah, this is beautiful. I thought, man, it must be a blessing to be able to be here all the time. And you know what happened? Here I am. It took time. It took some stuff. Had to go into place. But the Lord, you know what He did? He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I commit. He says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." It didn't happen overnight, but God opened some doors slowly over time, and now we're here. We are. And what are you saying? Just trust Him. It took some time. But some of you are waiting for a prayer, and I'm not saying God's going to give you exactly what you want, but He might. If you just wait on Him and not get discouraged. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, I quote it all the time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If you're acknowledging Him, He's going to direct your paths. Amen? Psalm 4, let's finish it up. Psalm 4. So those are the four things that you need to do while waiting for the answer to prayer. You got the prayer in verse 1. the reason for prayer in 2, 3, 4, and 5. You got the things you're supposed to do while waiting for prayer. And then verse 6, 7, and 8, you got what God will do for you while you're waiting for prayer. There be many that say in verse 6, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. You know what God will do if you trust him and you do these things and just trust him and know that he set you apart and stand and keep going forward for the Lord. Know what he'll do? He'll lift up his countenance, light of the countenance upon us. Just a couple more verses and we're done. Turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Been convicted lately about how long I've been preaching. I actually uploaded one of my sermons from last week. I said, my goodness, that was an hour and 6 minutes. I'm like, man, I'm surprised everybody don't walk out. Numbers chapter 6, look at verse 26, or 24, excuse me. You know what he's talking? He's talking to Israel here. And he separated them. And he says in verse 24, he says, the Lord, this is what he wanted them to pray. He said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You know what the Lord will do while you're waiting on him? Bless and keep you, be gracious, and give you peace. You say, what's he talking about there? Well, if you read the rest of the chapter beforehand, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about a Nazirite that separated himself, and God treated him and expected things from him differently than he did from anybody else. And God expects things differently from you, and he's going to treat you differently because you're special to him. Now, when you finally get a hold of that and you realize that God has so much care and desire in your life to make you into something, and he's every moment of the day he's doing something to try to help you, it'll be a blessing to your soul to know that somebody, if God Almighty, cares enough about you that he'll do that every day. He cares about where you're at, and he wants to bless you and keep you. It doesn't mean trials and tribulations won't come. But while you're waiting for that prayer, he'll be gracious and he'll give you peace in the things that you're seeking. You know what God did for, I remember I was praying, I talked to pastor about it. I said, you know, I'd really like to go to some mission fields and help encourage some of those preachers and missionaries overseas, you know, just visit them and encourage them a little bit. And I started praying about it. I said, Lord, well, if I do that, I said, you know, where do I go? Where do I start? And I started praying. I even fasted for it for a while. And while I was praying, I was thinking, man, Lord, are you going to answer this prayer like I think you? I want you to pray, because you got these different fields in mind. And you know what the Lord did? He didn't open one door. But you know what he did do? I got done fasting, got done praying, and said, Lord, what are you going to do? He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And then pastor told me about the jail ministry up in West Branch. Amen. You know what the Lord said? He says, I don't want you to go over there right now. I want you to go up to West Branch and minister to those guys in jail. Did he answer it the way I thought he was going to answer it? No, but he still answered it. And he says, you know what he did? In that moment, he directed my steps. Amen. He says, okay, you're serious about this? All right, then go this way. Well, that's not the way I thought I was going to go. It doesn't matter. That's the way I want you to go. And he's blessed it. And some of you, it may not answer it the way you think he's going to answer it, but he's going to answer it. He's going to take care of it. And while you're waiting for your prayer, he will lift up his countenance upon you and take care of you and give you handfuls of purpose to keep you going. In verse 7 and 8, that thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. While you're waiting for God to do something, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what prayers you got lifted up to God. But you know that you can be happy and have joy and peace in those things while you're waiting for him to answer, because he's already heard your prayer and he's going to do something about it. You know what Christians do? Christians base their happiness and their joy off their circumstances. How's things around the house? How's the financial situation? How's things? They look at those things. And how's the job situation? They base their joy off that stuff. How much stuff you got? Something you want, you don't have. You base your joy off that stuff. And God says, you know what you need to do? You need to base it off me. Just having me. No matter what situation you're in and while you're waiting for prayer. Last verse. I've been preaching for almost 20 years. Or I've been saved for almost 20 years. I still can't pronounce it right. Habakkuk. There you go. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 3. I get told every time how to say it. I cannot. Just something. Pray for me on that. Amen. Amen. So I don't preach out of here very often. Chapter 3. Now some of you are waiting for prayer and God hasn't answered it yet. And I'm not. You might be going through a tough time right now. But you can still have joy in the Lord. And Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, although the fig tree shall not blossom,
Neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what you can do, even though you're going through a tough time and you're waiting for prayer to be answered? You can still rejoice and have joy in the God that saved your soul. Now that is where the rubber meets the road, folks. Any Christian can be happy and joyful when things are going well. But when things are a little out of balance, when things are a little out of place, when things are a little rough, when maybe you're waiting for a prayer to be answered, to come in and praise the Lord, that's something that God is pleased with. Because you're showing the Lord, you know what? I don't care what my circumstances are. I don't care that you haven't answered my prayer yet. I still love you, Lord. I'm glad that I'm saved and I'm glad that I'm yours. I'm praising you. Amen. One time I remember... One time I remember sitting there at PBI, and I was really struggling with some things. And financially, actually, PBI is just a big, giant financial nightmare anyway. And I was down there, and I was, like, really discouraged. And the Lord just laid on my heart. He says, well, can you praise me, even though you're not getting what you want? And I got up that night, and I raised my hand, and they called up. Dr. Ruckman called on me, and I said, yeah. I said, I just going through a real tough time right now, but I said, I just want to thank the Lord. He's been good to me, and man, it hurt, that coming out of my mouth. You say, that's awful. You're not very, it hurt, because I was still discouraged. But I said, I just want to praise the Lord for what he's done for me. And I said, I just thank God for what he's done. He's been good to me. And everybody just kind of looked at me, and I sat down, didn't think nothing more about it. You know what the Lord did the next couple of days? He answered that prayer. Sometimes, you know what you need to do? Just praise him. He just wants you to praise him. Amen. You praise him. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know something you need to realize, despite all things that you're going through, is that God is good, and he's going to answer your prayer. Last night, me and Andrew were talking about the house situation and all the things that come along with it, and it can get kind of stressful. But we were laying in our beds last night, and we're just sitting there talking, and she said, it's good to be home, because we've been working downstate so much. And I said, yeah, it is. She goes, you know, I'm glad I'm not out driving on the freeways tonight. I said, yeah, me too. And we just started talking about the Lord and praising the Lord. Tell him how good he was. And before we went to sleep, the last things we said to each other before we fell asleep was, God is good. And he's good, even when you're going through tough times, even when things aren't going the way. Because you know what? Life is made up of hills and valleys, folks. And God will answer your prayer. Just have patience. Hang in there. And realize the things that God put in this psalm, they'll help you. And he'll get you through it. Amen. Amen. That's Psalm 4. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for helping my family, and I pray you can help others, Lord. I'm sure you already have. And Lord, I pray you just take care of these people. Some of them probably have some real serious prayer requests lifted up to you, Lord. And I pray you encourage them and strengthen them tonight and help them, Lord, to just realize that you haven't rejected them, you haven't neglected them, you haven't just walked away from them, Lord. You're still there. You're just watching them to see what they're going to do. Please help them, strengthen them, encourage them, Lord, in your word, and help them have joy and peace. And rejoice in your salvation, even in tough times. In your precious, most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.